Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Daniel in the Den of Lions, covering Daniel chapter 6, verses 13 through 28. This is a wonderful story of deliverance, but we also discuss the reality that the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, known by their Hebrew names of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, faced when they confessed that even if God did not deliver them from the fiery furnace, they would not bow. With God, even those who have perished as a result of this same sort of persecution cannot lose. And we also see some exciting parallels between Daniel in the den of lions with Jesus in the tomb in this amazing portion of God's Word. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel in the Den of Lions, covering Daniel chapter 6, beginning verse 13 through verse 28. This is part one of two.
All right, let me get my Bible open. Daniel chapter 6, we left off verse 13. Daniel in the den of lions. Your Sunday school material has been rewording it for years, and your contemporary music has been rewording it for years. But the Bible says he was in the den of lions. Amen. Yeah, see? Not that it makes a big deal. When you can call it Daniel in the lion's den. I'm sure the Lord isn't going to be offended by that. But your Bible had better say that. So we left off with Daniel getting in trouble for being faithful. And we talked about how that too many people have been taught that if you're faithful, you won't get in trouble. And that's baloney. You can get in bigger trouble by being faithful than you can not being faithful. And the people who get in trouble for not being faithful, it's a good sign that if you get in trouble for not being faithful, because the people who are not faithful and don't get in trouble are probably not God's children. And the Bible says if you're a child of God and you're not faithful, then he'll chastise you. Amen? And at the same time, being a child of God and being faithful can get you into trouble. As a matter of fact, I think we mentioned if you make cakes and a couple of homos come in and tell you to make them a cake and you want two men or two women on top of your cake and you're in certain areas, and I believe Columbus may be one of those, you could be sued and charged for discrimination and all that sort of thing. Being faithful to God could get you in trouble just trying to make cakes in the United States of America, 2017. So we pick up there where in verse 13 it says, "Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." There are going to be laws at some point that as a Christian, if you obey those laws, you will be disobeying God. And if you do not obey those laws, you'll be obeying God, but you'll be disobeying man's law. And that'll be the choice you have to make. Now, Daniel obeys God above man, and for that he must pay. Someone's going to pay. Now, you remember the king was duped. The king signed this law, but he didn't do so fully comprehending what was up. And I hate to say it, but that's been true about a lot of our presidents and our present one, I think, right now. A lot of things are being done and have been done by their administrations, and they didn't really even know what was going on sometimes, didn't understand. I personally think that that's the Iran-Contra thing with Ronald Reagan. I don't think he knew until it was too late that they were doing things that that ended up getting him in a lot of trouble. And even some of the great presidents, as we were told, great presidents, like Harry Truman. Go read history about Harry Truman. You'll find out there were things he... I was telling Jenny the story about whenever he was ready to support Israel becoming a nation and recognize them as a nation. And right in the last minute, the deep state that we call today and control the State Department, they had one of the people who was in the UN get up and announce that America was no longer going to support that partition, giving Israel land. And then Harry Truman found out about it and about probably lost years of his life. He was so angry. And then he overrode them. And the man that did that was so full of hatred for the Jews that he left and didn't even tell anybody where he was. He basically went into hiding and was dead within a few months. Killed himself. That's how much he hated the Jews, that when Harry Truman insisted that he recognize Israel, but he tried to override the president in the UN. That's going on right now with your president. That's why we pray for our presidents. And this king, Darius, was duped. They came to him and said, "Oh, king." And you know, he was a little self-loving, self-centered. And they said, "No one should be able to decree anything or petition for anything except from you. No God, no one but you." They did that because they knew Daniel was going to pray three times a day. And he wasn't going to pray to King Darius. He was going to pray to who? God. The true God. So Daniel is framed. And that's where we're picking up here in verse 14. Read that with me. "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." Now, I've heard several preachers talk like they think Daniel or Darius wasn't really all that upset. I think he was. I think you'll see as we continue to go on. Daniel was one of those guys that did what was right, and you either loved him or hated him for it. And I think that's supposed to be true of all of us. I just think you and I should do what's right. And some people are going to love you for it, but the majority are going to hate you. They're going to despise you. You just think you're better than everybody else. You just think so much of yourself. You goody-two-shoe. You know, that kind of thing. And if you're not spiritually mature, that stuff will bug you. That'll bother you. I had a friend when I worked in a warehouse. And I'd go in the lunchroom and no one would sit with me. Now, I mean, you may not, you know, you may find this hard to believe, but when I was in school, I was a popular kid. And, yeah, everybody called me Fudge. And, you know, it was just a weird thing. I don't know how to explain it. I didn't even try to be popular or anything. It's just weird. I have no explanation for it. But then, when I became a Christian, a lot of those people who always wanted to hang out with Fudge, they didn't have any use for me. The girls weren't chasing me. The guys didn't think I was cool enough. And they got some satisfaction about telling everybody he's all religious and everything now, you know. And then I come up here as a young adult trying to be a grown up, and I get a job, and it's worse. Because they don't know me from Adam. I was never popular in Columbus, Ohio. I didn't exist. And so here I'm around, nobody knows me, and all they know is they look at me every morning. I look like I was carrying a snake. Everybody look. I'm not kidding you. People look at you. Why? Because I'd have my Bible in my hand. And that was back before phones that, you know, we still had wires connected to our phones back then. Yeah, so I couldn't carry my phone, no Bible on a phone. I had to walk around, and I didn't have one this big. But the one I had big Holy Bible right across there, you know. And I'd just walk in with it, not arrogantly or anything, but I wasn't ashamed of it either. And I'd sit down at lunchtime, and I'd read while I was eating, you know. And people would come over there where I was eating, and they'd start to sit down, they'd see what I was reading. Got this Bible open. They just keep on walking. And so I'd sit there all by myself. But by that point, I'd been saved for several years, and I didn't care. So then there's this other guy. He's a professing Christian. And at first, he'd sit down, and he'd talk, and talk, you know. And I'd say, well, it's good talking to you, but I want to do a little Bible reading, so. Oh, you can do that any time. I said, when do you do your Bible reading?
Well, I don't really read like I ought to.
I said, so why don't you bring your Bible to lunch? We'll sit here and read. And for a little while, he did that. But you know, after a while, it got to him. Because people wouldn't sit with us at lunch. And one day he told me, I'm not gonna sit with you today at lunch. I'm going to hang out with the guys. And I'm not his daddy or anything. You know, I said, okay. Well, that was the end of it. Next thing you know, he's cussing and carrying on. Next thing you know, he's meeting them. They go to the bars and everything. You know what bothered him? He wasn't ready to be a Daniel. He wasn't ready to be the outcast. And I told him, because he would kind of get a little vocal about it. I'd say, you know, you don't have to draw attention. All I did is come in with my Bible and open it up. I didn't say a word. And they're all looking at me like I'm a freak. So don't try. But there was something about people like that. You know, they get a little arrogant about it. Next thing you know, he's making a disgrace of himself, made his witness a joke. And I tried to talk to him, and all it came down to was he was not ready to be a Daniel. Folks, I'm just warning you. You read this story about Daniel, you hear what we're talking about, you better watch it. You decide you're going to take a stand, there are consequences. You're not going to be Mr. Cool anymore. Very few people are going to like you. That's the cost of being a Daniel. But then, the Lord will send someone along that does like you. And it'll make up for all the other people who don't. It's funny how it works. It's like when I met this little girl right here. I was working out, and I used to, believe it or not, don't laugh. I was in good shape when we got married. She still loves me. But before we got married, I was in the gym and I was always by myself. But I had my headphones on. And the first thing she wanted to do is listen to. Yeah. And I didn't have to turn the channel or anything. She found out it was Alexander Scorby. I wouldn't trade what happened there and our friendship and love since then for all those people who shunned me. I wouldn't trade anything. Who cares? Amen? But for some of you, you may still be at that point where you're a little lonely at times. Be faithful. Your relationship with the Lord itself can get to where you just don't care anymore. And then also, God will put other people in your life. It ain't always going to be a girlfriend or a boyfriend, but people, brothers, sisters, amen? And sadly, this Medo-Persian law was unchangeable once it was signed by the king regent. And that's actually kind of true here. You know, the president, for example, can't just decide that he's going to change a law. Some Americans go to public schools and graduate from college even and don't understand that. When Obama was elected, what made a lot of his supporters mad was that he didn't just do everything they wanted him to do. And he tried by executive order, but they didn't understand. He wasn't a dictator. He still had to get things through Congress. And they were like, what's that? Congress? Is that a restaurant? Where's that at? And they're right there for Shazam. And if you think I'm just making fun, I'm telling you, that explains why we got a lot of people elected we do. That's how dumb people are. And the Obamaphone, is that what you just said? Obamaphone, you know. There's a lot of people, that's why they voted for Obama, to get a phone. They didn't know anything else about him. And these wicked conspirators will remind the king of that very fact in the next verse. Verse 15, can't change the law. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, like he doesn't know this, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. So with that, the trap door slammed shut. They framed Daniel. They set the king up. They duped him. And everything's signed and sealed now. Daniel's as good as dead. Amen? As far as man's concerned. Verse 16, read that with me. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Jenny, did you notice that? Den of lions. Just wanted to point that out to you there. Into the den of lions. Yeah. A lot of those little children's books, Jenny will tell you, we try to buy the ones that actually still have the King James in it, because the way they word things, it's not just a matter of making it understandable for little kids. It's like the new versions. They actually change some of the story. You're like, wait a minute, man, I want my kids to learn what the Bible says. But just for the record, homeschooled my kids, but there was a couple years where I had to put them into public schools. And when they tested them, they were two or three grades ahead of their age group. In reading, not in math and science, they were at their age level. And that was just because they hated it. Don't ask me why, but they did. But when it came to reading, they excelled. And the teacher said, what reading program did you use? And I said, when they were just old enough to say their ABCs, we did a year of Hooked on Phonics. And from before they were able to read, and since then, we've read the King James Bible. She goes, oh, you mean just, you mean the Bible? No, I mean the King James Bible. And she said, well, why didn't you use the newer versions? They're more updated and everything. I said, because they're garbage. And I said, and besides that, my kids are proof, but I've seen it over and over among the children who are raised reading a King James Bible, they excel in comprehension. They also excel in pronunciation. So, verse 16, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. I imagine in some of the new versions or some of these kids' Bibles and stuff, it says the lion cage or something like that. I bet. By the way, it's a known fact. Archaeologists I said it right, didn't I? I did. And historians, they have both confirmed and found proof of various places in the Medo-Persian Empire where they kept lions in dens. For real. Now, I say that because when I was a kid, one of the Sunday school teachers, otherwise a Bible believer, he says, now, it was probably just a couple of lions that they had there, and it was maybe, you know, they would bring them in, they would travel and all this. That's not what the Bible says. And it appears that they had a den with lions in it that was just always there. Come to find out, they have confirmed that. That they actually had these all over the Medo-Persian Empire. And not just at the Babylon Zoo. So, the king spake, and when he talks to Daniel here, he says, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And again, I've heard some preachers say that he didn't really believe that. It's like he was just saying something to be nice. I believe he believed it. I think Darius is about where Nebuchadnezzar was, if you remember, at one point. Nebuchadnezzar would say, "Thy God." And by the time it was all over said, he was saying, "The God of Daniel is the God." Darius isn't quite there yet, but he's on the way. Believe it or not, there are some who have taught that, the thing is that Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. It was basically a retirement home for lions. and that they didn't have their dentures in. But I just, Sean, don't ruin my punchline. This is from J. Vernon McGee.
Daniel spent the night down there. Now, these lions were fierce and wild beasts. They were not toothless lions. I remember years ago that there was a man that got a job in a zoo, and they wanted him to go in the lion's cage to feed the lions. And he said, no. And the keeper says, look, said, those lions are toothless. And he said, yes, says, I noticed that, but he said, they could gum me to death. Well, these lions had teeth, and they were fierce lions.
I just had to play that. I love that. So it's interesting to me because, you know, I believe Daniel is a type of Jesus Christ at times and a type of the Holy Spirit at times. And look at verse 17. It says, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. Does that not remind you of the tomb? And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Sealed. Just like Jesus was in his tomb. In Matthew 27, the chapter ends saying, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. The Jewish leaders said, that deceiver had said, he's going to raise again. And if you don't seal his tomb and put a watch on it, his followers are liable to steal the body and bury it somewhere and claim he was risen from the dead. And so Pilate said, well, you have a watch. And he sent some Roman soldiers. He said, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So, this is what they believe it looked something like that when Jesus was in the tomb with a couple of Roman soldiers side by side, watching, setting on watch. So that's quite a thing, isn't it? Verse 8, or 18, read that with me. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So, sadly, even men with good intentions can be manipulated. It looks to me like Darius had a good heart. I think he loved Daniel. I think he was genuinely disturbed by the thought that Daniel might be torn to pieces by these lions. He didn't sleep all night. Verse 19 says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions." You see, that to me, you lose the whole night's sleep, and then very early in the morning, probably as the sun was just starting to come up over the horizon, which is when Jenny gets up. She's up by sometimes before that. And I get up real usually. I'm up by 10, usually. I'm up usually about 8:30 is my... But I don't go to bed at 9 p.m. either. You catch my drift about it? You know what I'm saying? If you go to bed at 9 p.m., don't be bragging about getting up at 6 a.m. I mean, that's 9 hours. See my point? I'm just defending myself for no reason. That's what a guilty conscience, evidently. She just looks at me, I start defending myself. But some preachers don't see the faith that I believe Darius displays in his words and actions. And I believe he loves Daniel, and I think he's falling in love with Daniel's God. And verse 20, look at this. "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel." Now, I think if he was faking, I think the Holy Spirit would have said he pretended to speak with a lamentable voice. But it doesn't say that. It says he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. "And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God." Now look at that. "Servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" The reason for you to get close to God now and to grow is twofold. Number one, you're going to have your den moment at some point. And that's not the time to try to have, you know, take a pill and have a close relationship with the Lord. A close relationship with the Lord is one that is cultivated. It's real. See? If it wasn't real, you could just take a pill. But a real relationship, you have to cultivate. It takes time. But it's not just for you. Whether you want to believe this or not, whether you want to accept it or not, people are watching you. And there's going to come a time where you're going to have an opportunity at your lowest point in life. You're going to have an opportunity to show people your faith. Now, there have been a couple of times in my life where I was on my knees, weak, distraught, powerless. And all I could do was hold on. And I was amazed. I didn't do it for that reason, and I didn't expect, I didn't even think about it. Had no consciousness of it. How many people were watching me? And in the weeks and months after making it through that den experience, people come to me and tell me that really spoke to them. Your faith is real. It really left an impression on me. But of course, if you won't grow now, then when that time comes, you're probably going to fail the test. And sadly, you're going to fail those people.